In Exodus, you read how the Israelites exit Egypt after years of slavery. But freedom brought hardships, and some wanted to return to bondage. In the same way, the Galatian Christians were freed from spiritual bondage by God's grace. In today's passage from Galatians 5, Stephen will show you two key responsibilities that come with your freedom in Christ. Keep listening to discover how to avoid misusing this incredible gift of grace.
Back when we sailed on our wisdom journey through the book of Exodus, which gets its name from the Greek word for exit, we watched as the Israelites miraculously exited the land of Egypt. They'd spent several hundred years in hard labor as slaves, but now they were free. But you know, it wasn't long before they met up with difficulty and hardship, and they even complained that they were better off back there in Egypt. See, the truth is, freedom isn't necessarily freedom from hardship. And freedom certainly isn't freedom from responsibilities in life. Now, the Christians living in this region called Galatia, both Jewish and Gentile believers, had been freed from spiritual bondage by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Well, we set sail today now in Galatians chapter 5, and Paul is going to reveal two very practical responsibilities that come with, well, spiritual freedom. And the first responsibility is to take a stand in your spiritual freedom. He writes here in verse 1, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." In other words, Christ has made them free from bondage to man-made rules and man-made works as a means of earning salvation. One New Testament paraphrase puts it this way: "Take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you." That's exactly what the false teachers were doing here. Remember, the false teachers were declaring that faith in Christ wasn't enough. Yet you had to harness up to all that Mosaic law, all those festivals, circumcision. Paul is telling his readers here, take a stand against that false teaching. The apostle warns them here in verse 4, "You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You've fallen away from grace." Now, Paul isn't saying that you can lose your salvation. He's saying that to follow the law in order to be saved severs you from that all-sufficient invitation through the sacrifice of Jesus. To follow rules and regulations in order to be saved is effectively to fall away from grace. That is to miss out on the grace, the gracious gift of salvation to all who believe in Christ alone. Now, with that, Paul gives us an illustration from the world of athletics. He compares the Christian life to a race. He says here in verse 7, "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" The word Paul uses for hindered literally means to cut in on them. In other words, they were running very well, but then somebody cut in front of them and distracted them. So the Galatians are still in the race, but they're getting off course. How? Well, by listening to false teachers who are trying to mix faith in Christ with Jewish regulations. And let me tell you, this kind of teaching just seems to seep through the walls of the church today. And if it isn't stopped, it's going to flood the church and it's going to turn out the lights. Paul pictures this kind of creeping, corrupting influence here in verse 9 as leaven. He writes, "A little leaven leavens the whole lump." In other words, it's just going to take a little bit of leaven, a little bit of false teaching, to entirely corrupt the gospel message. So the Galatians need to take a firm stand in their freedom that they've gained through Christ alone. that they can't budge an inch on the gospel of grace. They've got to set that apart from rituals and regulations and ceremonies. In fact, I love the way Paul now adds a word of encouragement here in verse 10. He writes, I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty. You notice here that Paul says that these troublemakers will one day bear the penalty. He does not say that they will one day go away, that they're going to stop. No, they're never going to stop. In fact, they're after Paul as well. They're making false charges here that Paul is preaching the necessity of circumcision as well. That's not true. Paul responds here in verse 11, but if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, well, why am I still being persecuted? In other words, these false teachers wouldn't be persecuting me if I was preaching the same thing they were, that circumcision is necessary for salvation. So Paul kind of scoffs. He laughs at their ridiculous accusation. In fact, I believe he gets a little riled up with some righteous anger over this accusation because he writes here in verse 12, I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. That's pretty strong language. In other words, I wish these false teachers who want to cut a little foreskin away as necessary for salvation, well, then they ought to go ahead and completely castrate themselves. That's a strong challenge to them. Paul wants these believers to feel strongly as well, take a strong stand against that kind of legalism, the belief that keeping those kind of rules and regulations will get you into heaven. Now, here's another responsibility for the Christian. First, you're not only to take a firm stand in your freedom, but secondly, you're not to take advantage of your spiritual freedom. Paul writes in verse 13, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Listen, here's a mark of growing up in the Lord. The freedom Christ gives you will not be considered freedom to sin, but freedom from sin, so that you no longer want to live for sin. That's a mark of spiritual maturity. I remember as a teenager working alongside a crew of other men, and these guys couldn't wait for the weekend. Frankly, they couldn't wait to sin. And they'd all come back on Monday with stories of their sinful escapades and how great it all was. Well, the truth is they were not free men at all. They were slaves to their sin. And they couldn't wait until the next weekend to do it all over again. True freedom in Christ isn't seeing how much you can sin. It's seeing how much you can serve. In fact, Paul writes that here at the end of verse 13. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. In other words, freedom doesn't look for opportunities to serve yourself, satisfy yourself. It looks for opportunities to satisfy the needs of someone else, to serve someone else. Well, now Paul makes this very important connection here in verse 14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Here's what he means. Freedom in Christ produces a heart of love for others that accomplishes then what the law truly demanded. And here's the summary of the law. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, true freedom gives us a love for God. It leads us to reject the desire to live for ourselves and for our own sinful pleasures and to serve others. So if you love God and if you love others like that, well, Paul says here in verse 15 that you're not going to bite and devour one another. Instead, verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, what exactly does it mean to walk by the Spirit? That kind of sounds mystical to me, a little subjective. Well, let's take it back to John's Gospel, chapters 14 through 16. There in the upper room, Jesus repeatedly described the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. So the Spirit leads us into truth. As Jesus said in his prayer in John 17 and verse 17, that God's Word, the Bible, is truth. So here's what Paul means when he says to walk by the Spirit. He means to walk in submission to the Holy Spirit, who will empower you to apply biblical truth to your life. Well, let me say that again. To walk by the Spirit is to walk in submission to the Holy Spirit, who will empower you to apply biblical truth to life. That's really a wonderful promise that everything we need to know about living for Christ, serving and loving others, well, that's been given to us in the Word that Jesus called the truth. Our problem, beloved, is not a lack of information, but an unwillingness to make application of God's Word to our lives. So here's what we ought to do today. Let's ask the Holy Spirit today to empower us to apply what we already know. Let's start with that. And then let's ask Him to teach us even more of what we need to know, not simply for the purpose of more information as we study His Word, but for more application, so that He might empower us to apply God's truth to life. Well, until we set sail again next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, the president of Wisdom International, and this is the Wisdom Journey. Remember, true freedom in Christ empowers you to love and serve others. You can reflect God's love in your heart. Here at Wisdom International, we've deployed a resource that can transform how you explore the Bible, and it can deepen your understanding of the Christian faith. It's a chatbot on our website. This unique tool instantly searches all of Stephen's lessons and messages, providing answers directly from his teaching. You'll receive instant, insightful answers to your Bible-related questions anytime and anywhere. You'll also receive a direct link to Stephen's message where the answer came from. There's an icon on the bottom of every page of our website. Visit wisdomonline.org. Thanks for being part of the Wisdom Journey.